Sorry, Jennifer, I can't read that far, see that far away. Welcome to today's service of worship. Whether you are with us in person, joining us live on Zoom, or watching on our YouTube channel, or listening on KFIZ, we are glad you are here. For those in person, please use the time before worship to fill in the friendship pad in your pew. We extend a special welcome to our visitors, and if you have not already received your welcome gift, please pick up one as you leave the sanctuary. We have two passings to report. One, Raleigh Herzig, who's been a longtime member at our church, passed away on August 2nd, and his services are pending with Euchrewit Funeral Home. And then we also got notice that Brian and Katie Conran's 28-year-old nephew passed away. So if we can keep both of these families in our prayers. We are redesigning the pew pads, and as you pass them, please take a moment to write your thoughts on the back. We would love to hear from you on what you like or dislike about signing the pew pad, as well as any suggestions for a new design or any questions that you may have. Thank you for your input. Today's Growing Connections will be in the parlor. We will review the history of the Back to School program and share the many ways that volunteers help to make that program a success. We are collecting money and clothing for the Woodworth Middle School Partnership with an urgent request for basic clothing items for teens. Especially needed are socks and underwear, black lady leggings and girls sizes 2X and 3X, and hooded sweatshirts. You either can make a donation in the collection box out in the narthex, or if you prefer to give financially, you can give that through the church office, in the offering plates, or online, and then we'll shop for you. You can check out the new chairs that are in Fellowship Hall. Some of the well-loved used grade chairs are being used in the gathering room and classrooms, and other well-loved gray chairs are finding new life in nonprofit agencies in Fond du Lac. Those chairs have really gotten a workout over the past 27 years. Fondue Fest is coming up on Saturday, September 6th. Our church is going to have a booth to share information about our church and upcoming activities. Talk to Jennifer if you are interested in helping for an hour during the event, or if you have a 10x10 tent to use for that day. Next week, we will have outdoor worship in the church pavilion on the west side of the church building. You are welcome to bring your own chairs. Otherwise, chairs and picnic tables will be available. Pastor Craig is on vacation this week, traveling to help Daniel settle in for school this fall down at University of Miami. Pastor will be returning on Monday, August 18th. This morning, we welcome Reverend Dan Schultz. Pastor Schultz is a minister of the United Church of Christ, and he has been in our pulpit a number of times before. He lives in Fond du Lac and serves as a chaplain for Generations Hospice. Reverend Schultz, thank you for being with us and for delivering the message this morning. We also have a guest musician, Michelle Nagel, a National Board Certified Teacher, who is in her 26th year of teaching. She is currently the band director at Waupun Junior and Senior High School. She holds a Master of Music degree in wind conducting and a Master of Fine Arts degree in music education from UW-Milwaukee. And then, if you are able, please stand now for the call to worship. Get ready. The Lord needs you. We are ready to serve God. Be prepared to serve in the ministries of justice and peace. We are ready to serve God by helping others. Open your hearts, your souls, and your minds to God's mercy and love. Prepare us for service to you, O loving God. Amen. Surprising God of mercy and love, thank you for calling us this day. We praise you that you challenge us to show our faith in ministries of peace and justice, offering compassion to all in need. Open our hearts and minds today to hear your words of encouragement and challenge. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yet we are justified by the gift of God's grace through the redemption that is ours in Jesus Christ. Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sin together. Forgiving God, you know how easy it is for us to celebrate with joy the wonders of your love. We create wonderful art to represent the joy we feel. Our music soars to the heavens in praise of you. Yet how often we left our service to you as mere thoughts and intentions without fulfillment. You ask us to be ready to serve you at any time, but we replace our commitment on the to-do list of life. We will do these things when we get them. Forgive our hesitancy and our self-serving ways, O Lord. Deal us of the disease of asking first our own comfort before we engage in acts of justice and mercy. Now let's take a few moments for silent confession. Open our eyes and ears to the cries of those in need. Help us to give and also to receive ministries of love and reconciliation as we serve you with our hearts. Then our music, our art, Our worship will truly reflect your awesome and abundant love for us. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It is our joy to serve God by helping each other and all those in need. Be assured of God's tender mercy toward you and continue that love in all that you do. Amen. Hear these words from the book of Jude 2. May you have more and more mercy, peace, and love. The peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Let us now share the sign of peace. You may be seated. The first scripture reading today comes from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, and then 8 to 16. Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we do not see. The elders in the past were approved because they showed faith. By faith, we understand that the universe has been created by a word from God so that the visible came into existence from the invisible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out without knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived in the land that he had been promised as a stranger. He lived in tents along with Isaac and Jacob, who were co-heirs of the same promise. He was looking forward to a city that had foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah received the ability to have a child, though she herself was barren and past the age for having children, because she believed that the one who promised was faithful. So descendants were born from one man, and he was as good as dead. They were as many as the number of the stars in the sky and as countless as the grains of sand on the seashore. All these people died in faith without receiving the promises, but they saw the promises from a distance and welcomed them. They confessed that they were strangers and immigrants on earth. People who say this kind of thing make it clear that they are looking for a homeland. If they had been thinking about the country that they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return to it. But at this point in time, they are longing for a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God isn't ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city for them.
Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights in giving you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. Make for yourselves wallets that don't wear out, a treasure in heaven that never runs out. No thief comes near there, and no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps lit. Be like people waiting for their master to come home from a wedding celebration, who can immediately open the door for him when he arrives and knocks on the door. Happy are those servants whom the master finds waiting up when he arrives. I assure you that when he arrives, he will dress himself to serve, seat them at the table as honored guests, and wait on them. Happy are those whom he finds alert, even if he comes at midnight or just before dawn. But know this: if the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he wouldn't have allowed his home to be broken into. You also must be ready, because the human one is coming at a time when you do not expect him. Words of the gospel, words of life. Thanks be to God. I'm looking for Jennifer. There she is.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Well, we'll leave Jesus in the chair, and we'll come sit down.
Yeah, how's that sound?
All right. Well, are you all ready for school? Yeah, you got all your stuff? Did you look through the list and get all your things? Okay. So there's a list of stuff at school, and then you need a backpack, and you need shoes for gym, right? Yep. So we got to get all of our stuff ready so you can get ready for school. Yeah. And I don't know, but my kids used to, at the beginning of summer when it started getting lighter out as it got late at night, they used to stay up a little bit longer, and then a little bit longer, and a little bit. Only 5 minutes sometimes? Yeah. Well, sometimes that 5 minutes got to be a long time for my boys. And then by the time school was about ready to start, oh boy, we had to do something about that. We had to get ready because they were not ready for waking up in the morning for school. You? Good. Oh my goodness. Everyone should know that she's going to get up ready for school all the time. And I believe that. Does your brother get up early too? Yeah, that's a face. Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. So we get ready, we get our stuff ready for school, but we get ourselves ready too. Maybe get a haircut, maybe get, you do all those kinds of things. Maybe get some new clothes too. Yeah. New clothes in the fall when you stop growing so much, right? We grow a lot when the sun's out, right? Yeah. So we heard in that scripture today, Jesus was saying to get ready. Do you think he meant get ready for school? You're right. He meant get ready for when he comes back. So Jesus said, I'm coming back. Are you ready for me? And he's in heaven now, and he's going to come back. And how do we get ready for Jesus to come back? Well, if we do die, we will see him. But he's talking about, like, coming down right now. So how will we do that? Yeah, he's right here. You're right. But how do we get ready for Jesus? Well, we love God. Yeah, so, and we love the people around us, the people we know, the people we don't know, all the people, right? And we also make good choices. Yeah, like at school. So it's hard to make good choices all the time, isn't it? It is. Sometimes you don't think you have a choice, right? And sometimes the choice you have to make is really tough. And Jesus knows that. Jesus knows that. And Jesus is saying, be prepared. Just like you might forget one of your ruler at home or something and you don't have it, somebody else will help you out with that. Jesus knows that sometimes we try to make good choices and we don't make those best choices, but we're always trying to do our best. Oh, so don't say your dog ripped up your homework. Yeah. Yeah, that is hard. You're right. So that scripture today was kind of a good reminder. Just like we know school's coming, so we know it's getting ready, so then we start to go to bed earlier again, and we start to get our stuff ready, and we start to really put on our listening ears and all of those things. We have this scripture to help us to remember, hey, we got to get ready for Jesus. Don't forget all those things you needed to work on so you're ready. Yeah, and school. So let's take a little time. Let's pray and ask God to help us to do those remembering things, okay? Loving and gracious God, we ask that you would help us to be ready to live our lives in the way that pleases you, to help us to share your love with everyone that we meet. We ask that you would help us to make good choices. We know that sometimes it's difficult to make those good choices, but we ask that you would to be there with us, helping us to make those good choices and to remind us that you have grace for us. You have forgiveness for us when we mess up. And it's okay that we mess up and always try to do a better job next time. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Well, good morning to you all. Before I get into anything else, I want to assure the children here that my wife is also a teacher, not in an elementary school, but at Marion University. But I can assure you that if you are grumbling and groaning about the end of summer, your teachers are too. And they are getting ready to go back to school no less than you are. Well, it is good to be back here with you. And as I always say, this is always one of my favorite places to come and preach. So when Jennifer sent me the bulletin for today's service, I did think, oh, great. Here's the bulletin. It's going to be nice to be back there with the good people of First Presbyterian. But why is she sending this so early? I'm not preaching for another 10 days. And right about Friday morning, it started to dawn on me that, oh, hey, the 10th of August isn't a week from Sunday. It is this Sunday. And I had better get my poop in a group, as one of my coworkers likes to say. I have a paper calendar that I look at every day, and I miscopied it on there. So I had the 17th and the 24th on there instead of today. Oh. Friends, the moral of this story should be clear. Don't be like Dan. Be prepared. Both of those points, don't be like Dan and be prepared, are excellent pieces of life advice. Now, you can probably see without too much work, how they connect to this morning's scripture and how much more important their advice is in relationship to this morning's scripture. Which is to say, Jesus tells us God is liable to come at any moment. You're going to want to be prepared to meet him. Now, Jesus is speaking of the end of time, of course, when the Son of Man will return to earth to judge the living and the dead and the world with fire. His depiction of that return as a sudden cataclysmic event makes a good bit of sense in the context of his time, when death could come without much warning and could happen at any time. Today, when most people die at an advanced age and can see that death coming from a distance, it is natural for us to think about that promised a second coming as something that's going to happen someday out there in the distance and sort of vague future. And since it has been, after all, 2,000 some years without the second coming happening, I think it also seems natural for us to think more about meeting God in terms of our individual deaths rather than on the day when Jesus returns in his glory. Right. If you're following me, we sort of have in the back of our minds or expect that we will die before Jesus returns, which is just the opposite of what the original hearers of Luke thought. And given what I do for a living, being a hospice chaplain, it won't surprise you that I want to talk about that for just a minute. My job, after all, is to help people to be ready for their death and to help their families prepare for life without their loved one. You might expect, when I say that, that we encounter a lot of people struggling to accept their mortality, but that turns out not to be the case. We do see people in denial, or people who put off making necessary decisions or restoring important relationships until it is too late or all but too late. But far more common are people living with dementia who really aren't able to think about it, aren't able to understand what is happening to them, or people who have accepted their death and are just waiting out their time on Earth. And then there are people who kind of know when they are going to go. I went to see a guy with advanced cancer just before Easter of this year. And I said to him, what do you think? Is it more blessed to die on Good Friday with Jesus or on the day of Jesus' resurrection and accept that promise? And he says, it doesn't matter, I won't be here. I mean, this is like the Monday of Holy Week. And you know what? He was right. He died on Thursday. Wow. And, in fact, it is not uncommon, particularly with the very old, for people to ask, so what is the big holdup here? Why can't we just get this over with and I can die already? One lady was 101 and wanted nothing more in the world than not to make it to 102. And I would go to see her, and she would ask me, why can't you call up to heaven and ask God to tell my mother to come and get me? She said, I am ready. I am so ready. I want to die. And she went on and on like this once, and I told her, I enjoy your company, actually. I don't want to get rid of you. She says, what if I want to be gotten rid of, though? And I'm thinking, I'm not going to put a pillow over your face if that's what you're asking. But I just said to her, sorry, that's not a service that Medicare will reimburse us for. I think of people like this, sort of like the ancestors mentioned in Hebrews, who died very old and in faith, yet without receiving the promises of God. Right? Another woman I worked with lost her husband of 76 years shortly after his 100th birthday. And it took her nearly a year to follow him into the grave. And it was extremely difficult in that time to give her a word of hope. She was ready. She was more than ready to meet her God. And make no mistake about it, we are still called to live in hope, or at least as hopeful people, even in difficult circumstances like that. As the author of the letter to the Hebrews says, faith and hope are in a way synonymous, with hope providing the foundation of faith, even when we cannot see or understand what we are hoping for. But the question I have to ask is, how do you find that hope when time is short and life is filled with indignities and illness? The letter to the Hebrews, which we read this morning, has a surprisingly good take on this that lines up well with modern research I've read on spiritual needs at the end of life. First, we have to accept that our end is in fact coming without being undone by that reality. And it's easy for most of us walking around to say, I'll die someday, and that's just sort of a fact of life. That's a really different thing when you get to hospice and you're within 6 months, 3 months, a few weeks of the end of your life. As the letter to the Hebrews tells us, if they had been thinking about the country that they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return to it. But at this point in time, they are longing for a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Hopeful people aren't longing for the country of their former lives. They are looking forward to what comes next. Second, hope incorporates a view of time as open and filled with the possibility of experience, in the words of some scholars. Now, you can think of this view of time being open and filled with possibility in terms of Sarah and Abraham being open to the possibility of becoming parents at the age of 90 and 100, respectively. And I have mentioned this sometimes to the people I work with or to other grandmothers that I visited as a pastor. And all of the little old ladies say, thank you, but no. I'm done. One lady says to me, don't bring any babies around here. Dogs, yes. Babies, no. So perhaps it's better to think of it in terms of one gentleman I know who is happy to live from day to day as long as his wife brings him some fresh vegetables for lunch, and as long as he gets to sit in the sun in his wheelchair even for a little while every day. And he is the happiest and most cheerful person I've ever met. For him, those are experience enough. Third, to be hopeful is in some sense to have hope in others. God promises Abraham that a great nation will be descended from him and that he will receive a homeland for that nation. But when he dies, he is still a nomad. He is not in possession of the land. And though he has 8 sons, it is understood that the promise of the great nation is to be realized through his one son, Isaac. In other words, Abraham has to move from hope for himself to hope for Isaac. And you grandparents out here will understand that movement. At some point, you have to let go and say, I've gotten out of life what I'm going to get out of it. And now my children and my grandchildren are going to carry on. The author of Hebrews takes that story of Abraham and his promises and tells his audience, you are descended from this long life of faithful people. That's the great cloud of witnesses, if you've heard that phrase. And you and your children will join that long line. You are therefore both the culmination of the faith and hope of your ancestors, and you are now the people who must find their own faith and hope in their descendants. And so are we all, my friends. We're all a part of that line of faith. To build on that last point, as one scholar and practitioner suggests, the most important way to provide hope to those who are dying is simply to be present to them and to let them find hope in knowing that you are with them. I have seldom experienced anything more powerful than a dying person telling me or their children how surprised and humbled and grateful they are for the care that they have received, the love that they have known. The last thing that widow of 76 years told me as I walked out of her room was, "Thank you for coming to see me." And I will treasure those words for the rest of my life. It is good to be ready to experience hope enough in others to offer such words and to be ready to receive them. Which is to say, it is good to live beyond the boundaries of our solitary existence. As always, it ain't about just me. To live and to know ourselves in connection with others and to experience that in that connection, hope with gratitude. The only way to meet a moment of grace like that is to set aside our stuff, our stuff, both physical, psychological, or spiritual, and simply to be there, entirely there, with another person. Whether we are living or coming to the end of our lives, such times arise suddenly and unpredictably, and we will want to be prepared for them. Now, had I truly forgotten that I was supposed to be here today and missed the service, or gotten a panicked phone call from Jennifer at 9:05 saying, "Were you in a fatal car crash, or are you coming this morning?" Or if I had not been ready for it, I would have been sad and embarrassed and mortified to let you all down. But had I not encountered the lives of the people that I have met in the course of my ministry, I might have missed the presence of God. That would be a far greater loss. Amen. Well, as Luke says, and he really means it, we want to get rid of all of our stuff to be ready to meet God. Now, I can't tell you to get rid of all your stuff and give it to the church, but please, would you give some to the church?
Thank you.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for all the gifts that you have given us and for the gift of life itself. We offer these gifts to you in return that you and all the people of God may be prepared to meet you in the moments of our lives. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, one more story before we get into the prayers. I couldn't quite work this one in. Sometimes I go around and I meet people and just sort of to see where they're at. I ask them if they have any ideas about what heaven looks like. And one lady told me, she thought it looked like the Horicon Marsh, which I thought was, you know, not bad. You know, you could do worse. But I asked one lady, and she says to me, I have no idea. I'm no idea about this. And I said, well, okay, tell me this. Will there be dogs there? And she looks at me and says, of course there will. So there you go. As a community of the followers of Jesus Christ, let us bow in prayer today. O God, we are mindful of the gifts you bestow on us in the beauty of creation, in our families and our friendships, in our work and in our community, and in this church, First Presbyterian, blessed by your Spirit. Each time we come together, we pray that you will grant us discernment so that the gifts of that same Spirit present in each of us may come to light, may be affirmed and strengthened, and may be fit for service in your mission in the world. Most of all, deepen in us, we pray, the awareness of the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we see life and life abundant. May that abundance be seen in our midst, in all the diverse gifts present among us. Help us to celebrate, to receive, and to employ each other's special gifts, favoring no one above the other. On this day, as we pray for the needs of the world and for the special needs of our members as listed in our bulletin, and for those whose names are in our hearts, we ask that we may trust in that spiritual abundance that is all around us and in us. We call to mind all those places today where material and spiritual poverty are found. Empower us to become gifted presences in those places so that your mercies are spread over the face of the earth. Sustain within us the gift of hope by which we can confront all the terrors of this life, but not succumb to despair. Grant that by good stewardship of your gifts, we may help restore that realm of justice and love Jesus came to proclaim and complete. For it is in his name that we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. ¶¶ Our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you to defend you, within you to keep you, before you to lead you, beside you to guard you, and above you to bless you. God be your comfort, your strength. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, be with you and remain with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.